Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been having some terrible thunderstorms here. And that's why you heard reruns for, I believe it was three nights last week. Well, the last night was not due to a thunderstorm, but failure of the phone lines. I couldn't call WBCQ no matter how long or how hard I tried. And so I hope you heard a rerun on Thursday night. I think I said Friday, but it's Thursday night. So that's what happened. And not week ago Monday, but the week before that Monday, we had one of the biggest thunderstorm lightning displays here in this valley that I think I've ever seen in my entire life. It was absolutely beautiful, but extremely dangerous. And the thunder never stopped rolling for about 3 hours. I mean, normally you hear, you see a lightning strike, and then you hear the thunder, and then it's silent for a little while, and you have another lightning strike, and then there's thunder. For about 3 hours, there was constant lightning all around us, 360 degrees, for 3 hours, and the thunder never stopped, and there was never a break. It was amazing. And if it hadn't been so potentially destructive to my equipment, I would have tried to have videotaped the whole thing. But you know me, folks. We've been hit by lightning before, so whenever that stuff starts to happen, what I do is shut everything down, unplug everything, and don't go near anything that's operated by electricity of any kind. Because I know what it can do. I have been on the receiving end, right here, at this building. Well, I just wanted to bring you up on a date to date why you heard so many reruns last week. Tonight we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. I think I'm going to do a lot of the talking. Then I may open the phones to get some input from all of you. What I want to know is why nobody listens. Just now, people are beginning to listen to what I've been telling you since 1988, when I first started talking. It's what I wrote in my book. You've heard me say it over and over and over again on this broadcast that it's all about jurisdiction. Always has been. And I've told you over and over and over and over and over again that all the answers are in the Constitution for the United States of America, but nobody ever goes there for the answers. They're always looking for answers somewhere else or from somebody else. And they're always looking for quick and dirty answers so that they don't have to do any studying or do any work. Well, the Constitution's only 7 articles long, and there's only 20-something, you know, amendments to the Constitution that are very short, sweet, and to the point. And some of them are not constitutional amendments. For instance, the 16th Amendment was never ratified according to the procedure outlined in the Constitution, and therefore is not law at all. And even if it was, it wouldn't make any difference because the Supreme Court has made several rulings that the 16th Amendment did not give Congress any new powers to tax. They've always had the power to levy an income tax under the right circumstances, but never as a direct tax on all incomes and all the people within the states. Period. So, and they've also ruled that it's an excise tax. If it's an excise tax, it's taxing, the income tax is, it has to be levied against certain activities, which normally you would not be allowed to do. So, anyway, with that said, let me continue. Everything is about jurisdiction. Jurisdiction, and jurisdiction is legislative. Now, first, you go to the Constitution for the United States of America, and you see that the government is described to the T in this document. It tells you exactly what powers the government has, and it tells you who has all the other powers that have not been given to the government of the United States of America. And that is, the states are to the people if the states don't claim those powers. It's very simple. The founders, when they pinned the Constitution for the United States of America, only gave the central federal government, what we call the federal government, very few and very limited powers, and they're all spelled out in here. The powers that they were not granted, they cannot take, don't belong to them. They can't arbitrarily decide to have another power or to expand the powers that they were given. They are restricted. Okay? Jurisdiction is also described in the Constitution as something that I've harped on forever. You've heard me say it over and over and over again, and you've heard me tell you over and over and over again that all the answers are in the Constitution. And once you understand the federal Constitution, then you understand the illegality, the unlawfulness, and the unconstitutionality of what the federal government is doing 99% of the time. You see, over this entire nation, the federal government claims jurisdiction everywhere, but in reality, according to the law, they only have jurisdiction in about 1/100th of 1/100th of 1% of all of the area of the entire United States of America. Amazing, isn't it? Well, it's only amazing if you understand that truthfully by doing your own research and understanding the Constitution, and then by looking at what they're actually doing. They're committing treason. They are outlaws. They're scumbags is what they are, Nazis, if you want to know the truth. And just that alone justifies taking up arms against them to put the tiger back in its cage where it belongs. I've harped upon this subject so much, it just amazes me that people are still arguing the wrong arguments until recently. Something happened that just amazed me for, you know, a couple of years now. We've run Diane Alden's column on our website. When I first got an email from her saying that she wanted us to run her column, I didn't answer because I wanted to read her column without, you know, affecting what she was writing to see what she was involved in. And she was doing good research, but she had fallen for the scam that there are no conspiracies, that everything happens by accident, and that everybody in government has all these good intentions. And she used to use quite a bit the term conspiracy theorists to describe those of us who had caught on to the truth of the matter and were exposing it. And she was really reluctant to change that because she didn't want to be called a conspiracy theorist. You see, a lot of people are afraid of what other people think about them. Well, you know me, I don't give a damn what anybody in this entire world thinks about me. Never have, never will. All I care about is the truth, period. That's it. End of subject. So, if I describe something and prove it with documentation and somebody calls me a conspiracy theorist, I don't care. The only thing I care about is that there are people out there who will take what I say and go and research it and decide for themselves whether it's right or wrong. And they don't have to like me to do that. Okay? So understand that about me, and understand that there's a lot of people who do really care about that. They haven't gotten out of the high school mentality. Oh, it just hurts them terribly if somebody makes a comment about them or criticizes them or says something about something that they've said or whatever. You know, people do that to me every day. I don't even care. Okay? But some people do, and Diane Alden is one of these people who at least did up until a certain point, because every time I saw her use that word conspiracy theorist and propound in her column that something, you know, was just happening because, you know, people were greedy or it was an accident or they had the best intentions but it was the wrong decision, I always sent her an email explaining how she was wrong, documenting my explanation, and telling her to stop using this word conspiracy theorist. And one of the things that I really harped about in my email to her was jurisdiction. I sent her so much stuff on jurisdiction that it was probably she got tired of getting email from me. But the upshot of it was is that she became educated. If you'll notice, she hasn't used that phrase, conspiracy theorist, in a long, long time. And number two, her most recent column, which is on our website right now, is all about jurisdiction. In other words, she got the message. As a few other people who got the message, some of those people up in Klamath, Oregon, got the message because now they're challenging the Fed's ownership of that irrigation system and of the locks and the control over the irrigation system and their jurisdiction to tell them that they can't have water. What I want to know is, why did it take so long when it's so simple? It always has been so simple. The cattlemen here in the state of Arizona are all upset because the feds are trying to run them out of business by telling them they can't use government land to graze their cattle anymore. And the ones that can, they're raising the grazing fees to an exorbitant rate that it drives the price of cattle up to where they're not going to get much profit selling it for beef after they've raised it, you know, to a point where it needs to go to the slaughterhouse. So I have given them the method by which they don't have to listen to the feds anymore. Number one, the feds can't own the property. It's unconstitutional. They don't have jurisdiction over it, even if they did own it, unless jurisdiction was ceded by the legislature of the state of Arizona. And the Arizona State Supreme Court, in a monumental landmark decision that occurred years ago, and you'll find it on our website. You got to look for it, but you'll find it there. The Arizona State Supreme Court has ruled that the federal government has no jurisdiction over any of the land or anywhere within the state of Arizona because the state of Arizona retained jurisdiction over all the land when Arizona became a state, as opposed to the state of Nevada that when they became a state, legislated that the federal government could have jurisdiction over most of their state. It's two different things. So where jurisdiction is legislated by the state, the feds can have it. Where it's not, they don't. And over most of the land in the entire United States, all 50 United States, the feds do not have jurisdiction because the legislatures of the states have never ceded jurisdiction to the federal government, period. Not only that, the Constitution limits the federal government and spells out exactly what land they can own. And I've been telling you this since 1988. I've read it to you over and over and over and over again. We have posted treatises and papers and Supreme Court decisions and miles and miles and miles and miles of quotes and rulings and all of this kind of stuff on our website, williamcooper.com. williamcooper.com. And we made it easy for you to do the research and come to the same conclusion. But not many of you do it because, oh, you've got to read it. Oh, shucks. First, you got to look for it and find it. And then you got to read it. And, you know, that takes some time because there's a lot of it, but you got to read it. And number two, you have to have the brains to be able to understand what you're reading. And everybody thinks it's so hard that only a lawyer can understand those things. Because somehow you believe that English is not English, and you're incapable of understanding English, and it's all written in English, which is just, drives me crazy. Because if that's true, how do you understand each other? How do you understand television? How do you understand what I'm saying right now if you don't understand English? But it seems to be the case that most people don't understand English for some reason, are incapable of understanding that they understand English, or have the capability to use a dictionary to look up a definition if they don't know the meaning of a word. I find it incredibly fascinating and it's sort of terrorizing also. It puts a little terror in me to find out that people are that way. But they are. Now, I advise you to go to our website and do the research. We've given you all of the material there. You'll find it on the IRS page. You'll find it on the home page on the left sidebar. You can find the you can get to the IRS page from there. You can also find it on the left side in the blue area where we have the links, federal jurisdiction. And there's another one, federal jurisdiction within the states. You go to the IRS page and you can go to pages and pages and pages and pages and pages on jurisdiction. You can go to the crisis in Arizona and hit on the public notice number one, number two, and number three, and go to pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of the results of my own personal research into jurisdiction and why the Internal Revenue Service has no jurisdiction over me personally, period. If you're interested, you see, if the federal government has no jurisdiction over any of the land or on any of the land in any of the states, unless the legislature of the state cedes jurisdiction to them, how can they pass laws requiring you to do something on that land? They can't. They can pass laws requiring the states to do something within the limits of the powers given to the federal government granted by the Constitution, period. But they can't do anything outside of those limitations at all. And they can't make secret contracts between the agencies and the states because those are treaties. No agency has the power to make treaties, and the states are forbidden to enter into treaties with any other state. United States of America is a state. Nations are states, whether you know that or not. Nor can the state of Arizona enter into an agreement with, say, the state of Mexico. That's a treaty, and it's forbidden. Because through treaties, you can circumvent constitutions, take away rights, and become despotic, and exercise tyranny over the people. And that's why the founders put these limitations in the Constitution. Just in case you thought that they were just, let's do this. This would be nice. Let's do this. This would be, no, they had reasons for everything they did. And the reasons were to protect us from tyranny. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, folks. I've read this to you, I don't know how many times. I've quoted it to you from the top of my head on occasion when I didn't have a constitution in front of me. People have called in and asked questions about it, and we've discussed it. I don't know how many times it was the entire subject of the broadcast for the entire hour, and people still don't get the message. Took me 2 years feeding Diane Alden information until finally she got the message. Somehow, somebody up in Oregon was listening to me or somebody else, and they finally got the message. And a whole bunch of people read Diane Alden's column. And today in my mailbox were about four different articles written by four different people, all plagiarized from Diane Alden's column, taking credit for it themselves. Never mentioning the years that I have preached this to you, never mentioning Diane Alden's name whatsoever, but it was very clear from the content of their little blurb that they sent around through the email that they had read Diane Alden's column, copied the pertinent facts, and then sent it out as their own research, which is a lie. They plagiarized it from Diane Alden. And it's all about jurisdiction. And it's all about what I've been telling you since 1988. And here it is, very simply, folks, listen to this. It's Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17. Are you listening? To exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may, by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Does that say anywhere in there that the United States can take land? No. Does it say that they can put aside wilderness land for national parks? Are wildlife habitats? No. It says they can't even buy any land without the permission. In other words, the state legislature has to pass a law giving them permission to purchase the land and giving them jurisdiction over that land. And the land can only be for the seat of the government, and that can never exceed 10 miles square. And it has to be ceded by the states within which that property lies. And that was done, and that area is known as Washington, D.C. Any other land that they buy must be solely for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. What's so difficult to understand? How come nobody's ever understood it all the years that I've been preaching it? How come the ranchers here in Arizona don't understand it? How come they can't read the Supreme Court of the state of Arizona's decision that I gave them? How come they can't understand the passage that I just read you? Why are they all arguing the wrong arguments still? It's about jurisdiction. Either we live under the law, which is the Constitution for the United States of America, or there is no law, in which case we are living under despotism. People who make up law according to what they want to do at the time. Those people are called despots, and what they produce is tyranny. So either we're living under the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, or we're not. If we're not, we're justified in taking up arms and putting these people down, arresting them, trying them for treason, and hanging them from the highest telephone pole in the land, or the tree, or whatever it is, if they're found guilty. So are we living under the law? Are we living under despotism? And if you're all intelligent enough to get a copy of the Constitution and read it, understand what it says and look around and see what the federal government is doing unlawfully, unconstitutionally, as despotism, exercising tyranny over the population, and terrorizing people all across this country, seizing land, throwing people in prison, murdering people, burning people to death, all where they have no jurisdiction and no authority to do any of it, exercising the color of law, which means They're pretending it's the law, and people are too stupid to understand that it's not, so they get away with it. Color of law is like a guy who's not a police officer wearing a blue uniform, and everybody sees him wearing this blue uniform, so they think he's a police officer. You understand what I'm saying? They put on the color of law, not operating within the real law. Now, if everybody understands that, why do you still put up with it? Why won't you draw a line and say no more? Are you such cowards that that's absolutely impossible to do? Why do you care what your neighbor thinks about you, or what anybody else thinks about you, or what I think about you? What does that have to do with anything? See, that's high school crap. Where your girlfriend runs up to you and says, "Ew, I just heard Johnny say that you're a tramp." And so then you got to start a rumor about Johnny. Or you got to go have a big fight with Johnny because he called you. Who cares what Johnny called you? Who cares? Who the hell is Johnny anyway? So many people are so afraid, scared to death that somebody's not going to like them, or they're going to get on somebody's list, or whatever. That's called slavery, and you put yourself in it. The bonds are in your mind. You have accepted slavery, and you're living in it because you haven't got any guts. You don't have any principles. You don't have any ideals. You don't have anything that's worth dying for. And therefore, you're of no use or consequence to anybody whatsoever for any reason. Because it's as if you're dead. You don't stand for anything. You mean nothing. You are nothing, in fact. If you look back through history at every great man or woman that ever lived, every one of them, it's always because they stood for something. And they were willing to take any harassment or any criticism or any punishment or any imprisonment or even death to stand up for what they believed in. You won't find any great men or women who do not fit that category. They don't exist. They took a stand on issues and things and principles and ideals when nobody else would. And that's why they're great. That's what made them great. Let me tell you a little secret, folks, that you may not be aware of. Number one, there is a God. Number two, if you lead the right kind of life, God is going to smile at you and everything's going to be okay. Number three, everybody is going to die, including you. If you don't lead a good life, God's not going to smile on you. And you're risking the death of your soul. How about that? And I don't care whether you believe in what I'm saying or not. I know this to be true. And so far, I'm going to tell it to you. If you don't want to hear it, change your station. Go find some atheist to listen to. You won't hear that from me. It's not when you die that counts. It's how you die. And for what reason that counts, ladies and gentlemen. If you believe as I do that there is a God, you're one step ahead of everybody else in this world. If you also believe, as I do, that there is a God and He sent His Son to this earth and He died by the grace of God, then why in the world would you be afraid to die if you are living in that grace? If you are doing the right things for the right reasons, why in the world would you be afraid to stand up and reclaim your freedom? You see, I don't understand that. I don't understand people who walk up to me and tell me that they believe in God, or that they're Christians, or that they're Jews who believe in God, or that they're anybody who believes in God. And then in the next breath tells me that they don't want to stand up and they're afraid because they don't want to die. You see, the two are not compatible in any way, shape, or form. I can understand being afraid of pain, but I cannot understand anyone who believes in God or who is a Christian being afraid to die. Because by all accounts of everything that every religion that has as its head a God, you pass from this world full of misery and pain and heartache, sprinkled, you know, broken up every once in a while by a fit of happiness, into a much better existence. Why wouldn't anybody want to get there? Especially for the right reasons. Why wouldn't you want to be remembered in history as being a great man or a great woman because you took a stand when it needed to be done for the right thing in righteousness? So when somebody comes to me and says, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, or they come to me and say, I'm a Jew and I believe in God, or they come to me and say, I'm a Hindu and I believe in God, and I believe if I live a right life, I'm going to be reincarnated and go up on the ladder instead of down. You know, they believe in reincarnation. If they really believe that, why in their next breath would they tell me they're afraid to die? Any of these people. Because when they do that, I know they're lying to me. They either don't believe in God at all, or they're really not afraid to die. They're afraid of the pain of dying, which is okay. I can understand that. But they won't say that. And whoever's calling, you know, forget about it. If I don't open the phones, I'm not going to answer your call. So you're wasting your time and mine. So what is it? And if you're an atheist, I can perfectly well understand why you would be afraid to die, because that's the end of everything. If you're an atheist, this is it. This is it. Dying is the end of everything. It's the end of consciousness. It's the end of self. It's the end of personality. It's the end of your body. And you don't have any soul. You don't believe that. So there's not going to be any continuation beyond death. So I can understand why atheists are afraid to die. Scared to death, as a matter of fact, to die. Because this is it for them. I feel so sorry for people like that. They have no hope. No nothing. This is it. For atheists, this is it. And I'll tell you something else. Atheists can't be too intelligent if they look around at the world and at all of the animals and all of creation and the universe and the perfect balance that exists, and they can't see the hand of God at work there. That tells me there's something seriously missing between their ears. Just the fact that there's male and female of every species except some microorganisms that work perfectly together to create new members of that species. And they try to say that that's the result of some random selection of evolution. That the same exact time, male and female, just happened to accidentally be created of the same species, crawl out of different mud holes thousands of miles apart, and somehow link up together. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You have to be a total raving maniac to believe that. And it didn't just happen with one species. It happened with every single species on this earth. Wow. Now, if you have to be a raving maniac to believe that it just happened with one species, what do you have to be to believe it happened with all of them? You should be committed. Tell you the truth. Yep, there's a God. No doubt about it. If you believe in God, why in the world would you be afraid to die? Why would you accept eternal enslavement on this earth, be afraid to leave this earth, and want to stay here and be subject to all the terrible things that happen here, rather than live a good life here for the right things, pursuing the right goals? In the interest of good, standing up for principles and ideals that better life and the world for all of us, and if you get killed in the process, so what? What I know about God is that I would be afraid not to. Folks, scared to death, as a matter of fact. There is more truth to the statement, "Ye reap as ye sow," than you can ever imagine. Than you can ever imagine. So I find it absolutely incredible that there are those of us who teach you as best we can, as much truth as we can, proving it to you as we go along. And especially in my case, where I've always furnished documentation and proof for everything that I've taught you on this broadcast, that won't take that proof and go look at it. Now I know that thousands of you do. But millions of you never do. And you may listen to my broadcast and switch over and listen to another broadcast, and they tell you something different, and now you're confused. But they don't give you any proof. They give you some, they read from some facts they got, or some email they got on the internet. Or they just tell it to you. And now you're confused. But I gave you the facts. I gave you the documentation. I told you where to go to find it. And you didn't do it. And so you're confused. And then you turn to somebody else and they tell you something different and you're even more confused. And then you become paralyzed. And then you run around and you send emails to me and other people and say, "I heard so-and-so say this. Is it true?" I always write back and say, "I don't know. Is it?" Is it? All right, tell them. No, it's not true. And here's why. And then they go and call the other person and say, "Cooper's saying bad things about you." And you know what? That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why don't you take what I give you and go look it up? Why don't you get in the books and figure out what's true and what's not true from facts, from documentation, from real things that you can see, that you can verify, that you can question, that might open other doors for further research instead of playing your stupid little high school games. Because 9 times out of 10, well, I'll tell you, 100% of the time, I don't give a damn about that kind of thing. And 9 times out of 10, the other person doesn't either. Now, there's some people that do. They just go crazy right up the wall. And that should tell you something about them. But what I want to know is why, folks, here's the document that defines the nation. It's called the Constitution for the United States of America. If you want to know what defines your state, it's your state constitution of whatever state you are domiciled in. So if you want to know what the federal government is, the Constitution will tell you that. If you want to know what powers they have, the Constitution will tell you that. If you want to know the limitations to those powers, the Constitution will tell you that. If you want to know their jurisdiction, the Constitution will tell you that. There isn't anything about the federal government the Constitution won't tell you. And you say, well, it's not in there. I looked for it. If it's not in there, dummy, the federal government doesn't have it, can't do it. It belongs to the states or to the people. Got that? And the power of the states and the people are not limited unless it's specifically prohibited in the Constitution. So we have unlimited powers. We have any power that we want if it's not prohibited in the Constitution from the states or the people having that power. So, why is it that nobody wants to get this simple document, read it, understand it, draw a line, and stop arguing these stupid arguments? For instance, there's a guy I respect an awful lot. His name's Dan Meter. Dan Meter has done tons and tons of research all over the place. And he has created a place where people can go and study the law. And he has an internet site where people can go and study the law and documentation, and he posts his research. But even Dan's missed the point. He posts things like a treatise on one of the latest things, a treatise on due process that the feds must give you in pursuit of making you file and pay the income tax. That argument's moot. When the fact is, in the law, they have no jurisdiction to levy an income tax on any citizen within the territorial boundary of any state, period. Not only that, why would you argue due process when you can't even find a law passed by the Congress that, even if they did have jurisdiction, says you have to file and pay? When you get involved in those kinds of arguments, you can do nothing but lose. Because the truth is, the argument is jurisdiction. They don't have it. Period. Period. So, let's, answer me that question. Why are you guys still spinning around chasing your tails, won't draw a line, won't argue jurisdiction, won't talk about the real points, except for the people up in Klamath, Oregon, and Brian Alden just recently, after a column came out, all these other guys wrote, they stole what she had researched, and are claiming that it's their research, and that's a lie. And you'll see them. They're circling this stuff right now. They just read Diane Alden's column. They're all busy. They think, oh, boy, I'm going to take credit for this. Well, they can't. They can't. And neither can Diane Alden, because I'm the only one in this entire nation who for years told you the truth about the real argument. It's jurisdiction. Nobody else ever argued that point or pointed you in the right direction or even said beans about it, period. 520-333-4578 is the number. Come on, folks, 520-333-4578. That's the number. Why are you still letting them get away with all this tyranny? Why are you still filing and paying the income tax when none of you can find any reason to do so? Period. Why can't you read this document called the Constitution for the United States of America and simply follow it? Draw the line. Force the tiger back in his cage like I have done, like I'm doing. Like many other people are doing. I'm not the only one with guts in this country. There's lots of us now. And our numbers are growing stronger every day. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Hello. Goodbye. I don't know why people do that, folks. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bill.
Hi.
This is Mike from Philadelphia.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. By the way, this is just a comment. I remember right before you came on the air, the only other talk show that was sort of like yours on shortwave was Radio Free America.
Who is that?
You know, Tom Valentine?
Tom Valentine is a populist. That's socialism.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, I'm just saying that that was the only other one. I hear all these other conspiracy shows like yours.
No, yours. Mine is not a conspiracy show. I document what I say. Tom Valentine didn't document a lot of what he said. A lot of what he says, New Age nonsense, hoaxes, like that thing where somebody, you know, got the big certificate from some Asian guy and everybody was going to get millions of dollars, if they sued. It was both Treasury Gate, they called it, and so on and so forth. And he preached populism, which is socialism.
Okay, didn't you call his show Radio Freemasonry?
You got it.
Okay, well, anyway, here's my question. I'm going to hang up. Isn't there an amendment in the Constitution for our money to be only gold or silver? And my other question is that how much gold do we know that's in Fort Knox? Is it just what they say it is, but our money's backed by gold and silver?
Most of the gold in Fort Knox is being stored there for third parties who are not the United States government so that their gold won't be stolen. And number two, if you want to know what the Constitution says about our money, get a copy and read it.
Yeah, I do. It says only gold and silver coins or money.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So why are you asking me?
Well, I don't know. Our money looks like Monopoly money.
It is Monopoly money. It's worthless.
Okay.
It's just a piece of paper with a number on it.
Okay.
There's no difference between the $1 bill and the $100 bill except in your mind.
Do you notice that, though? If you take Monopoly money and put it right next to it, it looks identical almost.
It is.
All right. Let me get talk to you later, Bill.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
And I mean that figuratively, folks. If you take Monopoly money and put it beside a $1 bill, and they're not exactly the same, but figuratively they are. 520-333-4578 is the number. And it's your turn to call, whoever you are. It's just, you know. Come on, Sheeple, get off your butt, pick up the phone. 520-333-4578. That's the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing? What state are you broadcasting from? I was just tinkering with the dial and stumbled on your show, who I think is terrific.
I'm broadcasting over WBCQ in the state of Maine, and I'm in Arizona.
And I'm in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Anyway, I guess I agree wholeheartedly in my personal view.
This has nothing to do with the personal view. I read you the law. It's the law. It's the supreme law of the land.
I understand. I was just curious as to, you know, I think my contemporaries would tend to agree that, you know, they'll seize your property, they'll do whatever. Or does that mean, do they have that authority if you file?
They have no authority whatsoever beyond what's in this document called the Constitution. The problem with most people, and the reason they allow the feds to get away with it, is they've never read the Constitution. They have no idea what it says, and they believe what the federal government tells them. They're stupid, in other words.
Well, guys, let's see. You can't go to jail for not filing taxes. Is that right?
Pardon?
Can you go to jail for not filing taxes?
You can go to jail for living today.
Well, that's true. But
The federal government is so out of control that if they don't like you, they'll put you in jail on any pretext.
Well, sure. My opinion is that if everyone would just withhold, just stop paying their taxes.
No, you have to have a reason. See, we have to be law-abiding people. The reason is they don't have the jurisdiction or the authority, and that Congress has never passed any law, even if they did, that requires us to do it. Have you ever found a law passed by Congress that requires you to file and pay the income tax?
No.
Then why?
Are we not?
But wait a minute. Then why do you do it?
I personally
don't know, do you?
Well, actually, it's fear and intimidation of seizure. You know, if they'll garnish your wages, they'll do whatever.
But what does that tell you? See, you're supposed to be living in the United States of America, and that's not supposed to happen here. So if you're living under fear and intimidation from your own government, and that's the only reason that you file and pay the income tax, not because there's a law requiring you to do it, doesn't that tell you that maybe you're living under Hitler's concept of what a Fourth Reich might be?
Well, I agree. It's extortion.
Then why would we do it?
Well, some of us don't do it.
Most of you do. And I know you do. Because you've already admitted it.
Well, what happens if I skip a year or two?
Why would you skip a year or two? You either file or you don't. And if you don't file, you do it for the reason that's right under the law, not because you don't want to pay taxes.
Now, it's my understanding that they can't throw you in jail or do whatever if you don't file. It's only if you file and lie about the entrance.
No. I don't know where you got that. Don't know where you got that at all.
So you're saying they can...
I'm saying that today...
They can take criminal steps towards you if you don't file.
Listen to me very carefully.
Yes.
Those Gestapo traitors in Washington, D.C., today do anything that they want to do, and nobody ever stands up to them. They can put you in jail tomorrow for no reason. There are people who have been in jail for years who have never had charges filed against them. So what makes you think that, you know, that you're going to get away with anything if they want to get you?
Well, answer me this. What can we do as a citizenry?
Very simple. You can draw a line in the sand and say, no, I will not submit to tyranny or despotism. I believe in the law. I believe in certain principles and ideals. And I'm willing to die for them if necessary. And I'll oppose you with the force of arms under the Second Article of Amendment, which is the purpose that the Founding Fathers gave us, that was to resist tyranny by our own government.
wish more people, it does, there does not seem to be the kind of cohesion. Everybody's in that little comfort zone.
That's because they're stupid. They don't understand what's happening. They never knew what their government was, so they never knew when they lost it. But everybody in this country knows something wrong, but they don't know what it is, because they never knew what it was to begin with.
I have never seen any specific law that says you have to file your income.
Then why would you do it?
Oh, well, you know, before you...
If there was no law requiring you to get a driver's license and pay a fee to drive your own car, would you do it? You would? You'd go get a driver's license anyway and pay the fee if there was no law requiring you to do it?
Oh, absolutely not.
Then no, why do you file and pay the income tax if you can't find any law that requires you to do it?
Right. I misunderstood you, but I agree. And I'm a rebel at heart.
Yeah, but next year, on April 15th, you will file and pay your income tax. We're out of time. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper, the most dangerous radio host in America. And now, you know why. Don't miss tomorrow night's broadcast, folks.